If you missed Wednesday night, you missed a blessing. I tell you, Wednesday night's always good here at the church. The Lord bless us. I had Brother Bill teaching for several months on Philippians. And now we're started the book of Hebrews with Brother Perry teaching. And it's just something always good happening. So you be a part and come on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We usually get started around 7:10 with the Bible study. And if you would like to sing in the choir, I know Teddy would appreciate any of you coming in. They come at about 6 o'clock, don't they? And they back here in the back. And, man, I tell you what, you might even sing like that one of these days. So come and wherever God leads you to do, and let's do that. All right, we focus into the Word of God this morning to Daniel chapter 3. Passage of scripture you've heard many times, probably heard this preached many times about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We sing, "I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian," and yet we do not do that, do we? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, but every day the way you live, the way you behave out there, not in here, because in here you come and we know you're going to put on your best and live for Christ in here, but when you go out of those doors, a mission field is out there, really, a mission field. And everywhere you go, you represent Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. You're His child. You see, you ought to act like a Christian. When I grew up, when I went places, my father would always say, "Son, don't disappoint me or your mother. You live a good life. You do what's right." I never will forget. I was telling my wife the other day when I was about, 7, 8 years old, there's this man called Fred Reeves. He had a little grocery store, and Fred and Marie were good people. They aggravated me, and I aggravated them. One day I walked by, and you know that back then they had their candy out on the shelves, and I just got me a piece of bubble gum and put it in my mouth, started chewing it, and I didn't pay for it. Went on my way. Well, I didn't know, but I didn't think much of it. She called my father and said, "Booney got a piece of bubble gum today and didn't pay for it. Usually they give you stuff anyhow, but I didn't." And he asked me, he said, "Did you pick a piece of bubble gum and not pay for it?" And I said, "Yes, I did." I knew better to tell him a story. Didn't lie to Daddy. He said, "Well, you go back and apologize to them. And you pay for that bubble gum." Well, guess what? I had to go back. And that was hard for me to do because, you know, I was supposed to, you know, I shamed my father and mother by stealing. I felt bad about it. I really did. I told Miss Marie, I said, "Miss Marie, I'm so sorry that I got that bubble gum." And she said, "Booney, anytime you want something, just ask me. And I'll give it to you." And I thought, well, why didn't you just give me this piece of bubble gum? Well, you know how kids are. I hung my head low and I went back. And, of course, Daddy said, "Well, that's not all of it. You know, it's time for your punishment." And I got a whipping in my life. And I never did steal anything else. I guarantee you. It's kind of like, you know, once you do something like that, you don't want to do it again. But I learned a valuable lesson. I represented my father and my mother, and they had taught me better than that. Well, it's the same thing in our Christian life. God's Word, when we represent Christ, we should put on the best for Christ out there in the world. Tell people about Jesus Christ because He died for you and I. And folks, we need to live for Him every single day. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today in Daniel with these three children. You see, let me read the passage of Scripture, and then we'll talk about it. In 14, Daniel chapter 3, verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you today that we can come into your house, study your word together. Now, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit calm our hearts and let us open our eyes of our understanding and ears of our heart to we may hear your Spirit speak to our heart today at the point of our need. And God, if there's someone here today that's lost without Christ, Lord, today might be that day they say, "Lord, I want to serve you. I want to give you my life." Lord, if there's someone here today that is a Christian and they're not living up to what a Christian should be and do, today might be that day that they just kneel before you and say, "Lord, I have failed you at this point. And at this point, Lord, I want to come confessing." For the Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse us, forgive us. And Lord, if there's someone here looking for a church home, and this is the place that you've led them, Lord, I pray today might be that day that they come and join in with this fellowship. Lord, whatever decisions we make today, let us make them according to your will. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, I want to go back and just kind of explain the story. The leaders, King old Nebuchadnezzar, he was there, and his leader said, "Listen, King, why don't you make a big image, a gold image of and put it out in the square, wherever there, where everybody can see it. And then with the sounding of the trumpets and the music, everybody will bow down and worship you, praise you." So they did. Built that old big golden image and put it out there. And sure enough, the sound of the horns went off and these Hebrew children did not bow down to that false god. Because the Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And they knew it was wrong. So they just didn't do it. Well, guess what? There's some of his chief people that wanted to get the Hebrew children in trouble. So that's the reason they put all this plan together to start with. So they run to the king and the king said, "Oh, king, do you know that these children," and they were fine children because they had stood for God, and they were some of the brightest and the smartest of all the children there. He took them there in captivity. And he said, "They didn't bow down when all of this happened." So he calls them in and says, "Listen," he said, "is it true that when the sounds of the horn and stuff blew that you did not bow down?" And they said, "Yes, that's true." Oh, let me tell you something. what a scripture I read. He began to think of an excuse for him. And this is what he said. Let's see how it unfolds. Here is the king. And we need to see, one, his attitude about him. There's these three young guys, and they answer the king, "We did not bow down." Now, the attitude of the king, we are told in verse 13, is one of rage and fury. Boy, he is mad when he finds out that these guys or these kids didn't bow down and worship him. They worship the true and living God. You know, the attitude that we have is very important in our life. The attitude of this king is angry. Rage, it said, and fury. Now, back in chapter 2, verse 12, it said, "For this cause the king was angry and furious." We see a man, Nebuchadnezzar, who cannot control his anger. Folks, let me tell you something. As Christians, we need to learn to control our anger. What we say, how we react to one another. You know, I tell you what, I used to just get kind of angry when somebody cut in front of you at a line. You know, don't that make you kind of mad? When somebody, you've been waiting, somebody cuts in front of you. Oh, I used to get kind of angry about that. I would do all kinds of ugly things, or might even say some things. But, you know, when I became a Christian, God calmed my anger problem. And now I don't get angry. I just kind of move along. The other day we was trying to get home from down the farm, and I stopped to get gas. And let me tell you something. There was a man sitting there at the gas. I think he was asleep in his truck. He sat there and sat there and sat there. I don't know what his case was. I wanted to get Tom to get out and let him knock on the door, because that man was bigger than I was, but he wouldn't be no bigger than Tom, and say, "Hey, are you asleep?" But I thought, better not in this day and time. Somebody might shoot you. So I just backed up, got out of there, and went on to the next station. Next station, the same thing. I thought to myself, God, are you trying to tell me something? And we went on to the next station, and finally I got gas. And but I didn't lose my temper. I didn't do anything that would bring the name of God down. But this man, the Bible says, did not have control of his emotions. And the king is expressing a kind of anger that leads to sin. You know, his anger is filled with rage and fury, and he gives a violent answer. He was mad enough to bite a 16-penny nail in two. He was just hot under the collar, we would say. And it was an attack on himself. You see, they're refusing to bow down. He looked at, hey, they're attacking me, and I'm not going to have that. And when the king gave the orders, everybody was expected to bow down and obey. Nobody is going to defile my name, he said. I've got control. I can take their life in a very instant. And we know that in Babylon it was always that way. It was a They bow down to a lot of images. Now, the Bible warns us about the pressures of the world. This old world wants us to bow down to its ways. And as Christians, we must stand tall and we must say, I will not bow to the world's activities or the trends. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells us to not love the world. Listen, the world says, you go along. Have you ever heard that you have to go along to get along? That's what the world wants us to do with their latest fads, their latest fashions. Oh, I tell you what, follow its customs. I've never seen nothing like it. The fads that we have in the United States, and I tell you what, I told somebody the other day, I was walking into a store looking, and some guys come out, they had ragged pants on with holes, and girls, they had these ragged pants and the pockets hanging out and everything, and I thought, man, back when I grew up, we put patches over those things. I wouldn't be caught dead in something like that. Now they pay high money for a new pair of pants that got holes in them. I'm thinking, what have we done? We don't even make sense anymore, do we? But yet, I see so many wanting to follow that kind of fashion. And the world would have you to follow everyone else. And the Word of God tells us, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't be pressured into a mold that you look like everybody else. Don't do that. As Christians, we need to take a stand for the things of God. You don't have to do like all the others. You don't have to be like all the others. The world will tell you, no, you've got to be just like us. Now, when an individual dares to be different, let me tell you something, it upsets things, and people get angry at the way we live, at the way we talk, at the way we look at things. The world is getting angrier by the moment. But these three children would not bow down to the world's image. And the king's attitude led him to an anger that made him do things normally he wouldn't have done. And then not only the anger, look at his amazement. In verse 14, he says, is it true? Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I can't believe what you're telling me. You see, the king is amazed. He's sure that there must be some kind of mistake that they didn't bow down. So when the word comes that they would not bow, he is amazed at these three guys. He has the ideal, and the world has the ideal, that everybody has a price. You ever heard that? Everything has a price. You pay enough money, they will do it. In other words, if he gives them a good excuse or pays them enough money, oh, they'll bow down. I just got to make it available to them. And he has the idea that everybody has their price in life. That's not true, is it? There are many today that will compromise their Christian relationship because of money. Now, let me tell you something. Some of you are not going to like this, and I don't really care, but it's in the Word of God. If you are a Christian, there's no room in your life for alcohol. No room. If you compromise and says, well, others do it, let me tell you something. That's not the relationship that God wants to have with you. There's no room in a Christian's life, I don't believe, for gambling, the lottery. I'll never win because I'll never play that. Because Christian life, to me, is not a life of gamble. It's a life of faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, people say, well, preacher, don't you ever buy a ticket or do it? No, I don't do that. I've got strong convictions that, you know, alcohol, I know what was bad in El Paso. I pray for those families. I pray it doesn't happen here. That was sad, sad, sad. But let me tell you something. Alcohol kills more people than that every day. And the world says, go ahead and serve it. Now you think about it. It takes the lives of mothers and leaves their children. It ruins families and leaves little children without a father or mother. And yet we won't say a word about that. The world won't say a word about that. But you let something happen like it did the other day, and we're all up in arms against it. Folks, we need to get our priorities. You know what's wrong with the world? We've taken God out. I saw that boy's life, and I saw where he lived, and I thought to myself, I wonder if he would have been led to Christ by some Christian, that probably would never have happened. And I just blame our Christians for not telling the world about Christ. You see, we blame things all on different reasons, but we have compromised in our society and says, okay, everybody can worship whatever they want to, and it's all right. Well, it may be all right with that world, but when you put somebody or something or some other against God, it's wrong. Totally wrong. And we are not for sale as Christians. You see? We're not to fall into that category. And this king becomes very diplomatic. He calls these people in there and says, listen, won't you compromise a little bit? Maybe you didn't understand my orders. First orders was they'll be thrown into the fiery furnace immediately. But he says, no, I like these kids. Here they're right. You know, maybe you didn't understand my orders. And he has an art of compromise. I can imagine he probably changed his tone and his expression on his face from anger and amazement. And he says, you know what, let me try a little different approach. The world is like that, isn't there? If they can't get you to stumble, the world can't get you to fall, it will change their approach. And they will tell you all kinds of things to get you in the trouble. And he is an artist. This old king is an artist at bending the rules and the wills of men. And look what he says. Boys, maybe you don't understand, but I want to make it clear. And I'm going to give you another chance. When you hear the sound of the trumpets and all the music, if you'll just bend a little bit, I won't throw you in the fiery furnace. You'll be just like everybody else. I won't have to do that and throw you in that fiery furnace. If you will just go along, don't stand out and be different from the crowd. Let me give you another chance. And the old devil does us that way all the time, doesn't he? He comes to our heads and our minds, and he whispers things into our lives, into our ears. And if we're not careful, we'll go along with what he says. And if you don't, I'm going to have to throw you into that furnace. And that's what I said a while ago. It's just like the world. If you'll just go along with the world, you won't be thrown into the fiery furnace. But let me tell you something. This world will scorn you. This world will laugh at you. And all of that is the powerful tools of the devil. especially with our young people and our young minds. It's no big deal to go to a party, the world says, and drink one drink. You'll go along with the rest of the group. You don't have to be a religious fanatic. Just one beer won't hurt you. Don't compromise with the devil. You see? Don't stand out from the crowd, the devil says. They will laugh at you. Harry Ironside said of his mother, she said, "Son, they may laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out." You think about that. This world may laugh you into hell, but they will never laugh you out. And then the king says, "Who is it that God shall deliver you out of my hands?" You see, the king doesn't know or doesn't realize, but he's shifted from being a compromising person to focusing on the things of God. What is this God that you think going to deliver you out of my hands? I don't even believe that a God exists, he says. Listen, you may not know about my God. These young men are going to tell him about God. And folks, let me tell you something. There is a God in heaven. And just because you say you don't believe the Bible, just because you say you don't believe the Word of God, doesn't mean that he does not exist. The critics make fun of God. All you have to do is watch television a moment. They make fun of religion. All the infidels, they laugh about it. The agnostics say they don't know if there is a God in heaven. Listen to their answer. It's filled with courage. "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." In other words, we don't even have to think about it. What we're going to do, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to take any time to mull it over and think about giving you an answer. We already know what we're going to do. We have made that decision a long, long time ago. You know, when I became a Christian, 1975, and when I gave my heart to Christ, I made a decision. I will follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Listen, I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes. I have sinned. But the Bible says that I belong to Him. And if I will confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. I made a decision that day to serve the Lord. I love that old passage of Scripture where Joshua says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God." You see, God said way back in Genesis, "Thou shalt have no graven image before me." You see, idolatry was strictly forbidden. And they were standing there before the king who could take their life, who could throw them immediately into the fiery furnace. I thought about those three young guys. What would we be doing if we were standing before a king that says, "Listen, if you don't deny your God, I'm going to have you executed right now"? What would you do? Their knees may have been knocking, but their heart was as firm as a rock. They said, "Listen, O King Nebuchadnezzar, We don't have to wait to give you an answer. We know what we're going to do. Friends, that's courage, isn't it? We need some people today in our Christian lives, in our churches, that have backbones. You see? Someone said years ago when we run into a problem, the deacons and the pastor would go out behind the barn and they'd kneel and they'd pray till they got God's word on a situation because they had some backbone. And they stood for what was right. And they stood for what was Christian. These guys had backbone. And their answer was one of confidence. Listen, if it be so, I love that verse 17. Our God we serve is able. King, our God is able to deliver us out of your hand anytime he gets ready. We're not going to bow. We're not going to bend over to your ways. Our God is able. I thank God for his wonderful working power in our lives. Our God is able to deliver us one way or the other. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for Jesus Christ. You don't have to be afraid as a Christian to stand up for what's right in a crowd. You don't have to be afraid to bow your head and pray. Your God is able. He's powerful. He's a mighty God. But, they said, if not, oh, let me see, listen. Are you prepared for the if nots in life? O King Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to deliver us, but if not. In other words, if something comes along and you have to go through that trial, we're going to serve God anyhow. You see? You want to serve God? You want to do what's right? They did. But if God doesn't save us from your fiery furnace, we're going to serve him anyhow. We're going to give him praise anyhow. Sometimes, let me tell you something, God's plan is deliverance from the situation. And sometimes it's not. You're going to have to go through that fiery furnace. It is a very great faith to say, our God will deliver us. But it's even a greater faith to say, no matter if he doesn't, we're going to still serve him. We're going to serve him. I don't have to make up my mind. I've made that up years ago. The Bible says over further in the Bible there in front of Daniel that when Daniel was brought into captivity, he purposed in his heart to serve God. In other words, he had made up his mind a long time before, I will not serve Nebuchadnezzar's image or an idol. I will serve God. In the Old Testament, I think of Job. Job lost it all. He lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. His wife said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? His friends did not believe him. They kept telling him, you must have done something to upset God. And Job said, you know, when everybody else said, curse him and die, he said, listen, I don't care. If God slays me, I will still trust him. I will still trust Him. Today, I don't know what you're facing. I know some of our people are facing cancer. Some of our people are facing bad hearts. Some of our people are facing financial problems. Some of our people are facing children problems. You see? But whatever you're experiencing, trust God. Trust God. But what if He doesn't, preacher? What if He doesn't help me there? Are you willing to say, I will still serve God? No matter what. These three young guys said, King, you may put us into that fiery furnace, but our God is able to deliver you or to deliver us. But if He doesn't, it doesn't matter. We're still going to serve Him. One of these days, the battle will be over. We're in a war right now. Not flesh and blood, but we're in a spiritual war right now. In our nation, we're in a spiritual war right now. This world is turning further and further away from Christ. We need to take a stand for Jesus. Anything worthwhile taking a stand for is also worth suffering for. You know, you make up your mind today. Who are you going to serve? The devil or the Lord? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, trust Him today. Give Him your life. Say, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to serve You. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, you know what He did? He cried out, it is finished. The plan of redemption is finished. Salvation is made a way for you to come to Christ. I think of that old song, it is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There need no more strife. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. It's finished, folks. Christ died for you and I to have life. But yet, we face the devil every day. We face this old world every day. Will you be like the three Hebrew children? Will you stand up for Christ today? Or will you bow to the world? Think about it. And if you're not going to stand up for Christ today, maybe there's something wrong in your Christian life. You need to come to the front and get that right. You see, it takes real courage to admit that we're wrong, don't it? It takes real courage to stand up for Christ. But that's what we have to do. If you're here today and you're not saved, oh, what a day for salvation to come to you in your house. Oh, what a day for you to come and get your life right with God. Oh, what a day if you're looking for a church home to come today and start right here serving Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank You today for Your blessings in life. I thank You for these that have come. Lord, I pray today if there's a decision that needs to be made, they will come and make that decision. Let Your Holy Spirit quicken these words to our heart. And we'll give You the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.